I'd like to try and say something about the greatness and glory of the Lord Jesus and what he has accomplished for his God and Father and for us poor, guilty sinners. What a work he's accomplished there, established a righteous basis by which God can come out in blessing to you. As we sang in our hymn, he stands with hands outstretched to bless you. And all he requires is repentance and faith in his beloved Son. What I'd like to do is to look at the first chapter of the Epistle to the Colossians. Read from verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has made us fit for sharing the portion of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, that is Jesus, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, who is image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation, because by him were created all things, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or principalities or authorities. All these have been created by him and for him. He is before all, and all things subsist together by him. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead, that he might have the first place in all things. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to itself, having made peace by the blood of his cross. By him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works, yet now has it reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and irreproachable before it, if indeed ye abide in the faith, founded and firm. I may refer to other scriptures, but I've turned to this one because it gives a wonderful picture as to the Lord Jesus, who he is, and what he's done. And I would seek the Spirit's help to just say a few words about some of the verses that we've read. Where we started to read in verse 12, the apostle has been writing to these believers, and he gives thanks to the Father who has made us fit for sharing the portion of the saints in light. It's an interesting question that made us fit. What does that involve? For we were certainly not fit. Each one of us have sinned. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of God's glory. And there is no exception to that. I have sinned, you have sinned. Everyone has sinned and come short of God's glory. But thanks be to God, in his wonderful love, he has established the basis upon which he can righteously forgive those sins. And you might say, wondrous as that is, it's only the beginning of what God has in his heart for those that believe on his beloved Son. And I'd like to try and pick up some of these things. If we look at verse 14, it speaks there of the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You think about what that means, redemption. That is bringing back something that has been lost or estranged. And it involves a price. There is a redemption price that has to be paid to redeem that person. We know it says that the redemption of the soul is costly and must be given up forever. But what it tells us here is that Jesus, the Son of God's love, has paid that price. And what a price that was. A price that you and I will never understand fully. It's beyond our ability to comprehend what it cost the Father to render up his Son to die on a cross at Calvary, and in doing so, to bear his righteous judgment on sin. We can't enter into that, really. The Lord Jesus came into this scene and fulfilled the will of his Father perfectly. As we read of something of it this afternoon in our reading, his mission here was to fulfill the will of his Father and to finish the work that he'd given him to do. And that work involved that he go to the cross at Calvary, and there God made him sin. Made his own beloved Son, that principle that's abhorrent to God. And in doing so, all our sins were taken by him also on that cross. And he has borne God's judgment. He has exhausted it. He committed his body into the hands of his Father and then expired. Men didn't kill him. He laid down his life for you, for me, for all who put their trust in him and come to him in simple repentance, recognizing that they are a sinner, not only that they've been lost, but they have actually sinned. Each one of us has. I don't think anyone here would attempt to claim that they have not sinned. It's in us all. It's part of the evil nature that man has. But the price has been paid. The Lord Jesus bore the judgment, and now God is able, and not just able, he wants you to come in repentance. That's why that hymn portrays him as standing, hands outstretched, looking to bless. You think of the prodigal son. He came to himself. He realized what he had done, the sin that he'd committed in leaving his father's house and squandering all that he had. But he came to himself. He realized what he'd done, and he realized that was no other way back. He would have to go to his father. And he worked out what he was going to say when he got there. But you know, the greatness of the glad tidings is that God is looking for you to come back. He's watching for you to come. And when he sees you, you won't have time to make any speeches or anything of that kind. What does it say? He covered them in kisses and put a ring on his hand gave him the best robe. All these things. And God's exactly that. That is a picture of the heart of God to the repenting sinner. Wondrous opportunity there is tonight for you, if you're troubled by your sins, or if you're not sure that you've already had that transaction with the Lord Jesus, and are sure that your sins are covered. Tonight is another opportunity. I cannot promise another one after this. We don't know when the Lord is going to come. And all those who have come to him and put their faith in him will be gathered from this earth. And then there will be judgment. And you have the opportunity to have to do with God as a Savior God. If you turn your back on these opportunities, you may have to come to do with him as a judge. And that is not a condition that anyone would want to be in. But the opportunity is there. It's towards all. No one is too bad or too evil to be forgiven. That work on the cross of Calvary, it covers every sin. And so the opportunity is there. Dear friends, I would urge you, if you haven't already done so, avail yourself of it. God wants you to. You need it to be able to be brought into relationship with God. Now, where we read, it speaks about God is in him, that's in his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus. He's reconciling everything to himself. That means the distance is being removed and conditions are being made such that we are able to come back to God and to respond to him as he would have us do, to look to him as our God and our Father. What wondrous blessing available to us. And so in verse 14 it talks about delivering us from the authority of darkness, translating us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. If you're away from God and still in your sins, you are a slave. You're a slave to sin. And you're in darkness as to the heart of God. But God has, by that sacrifice of his beloved Son, he is able to take you up out of all of that, and by redeeming you, by his Son paying that terrible price, he can translate you into being a redeemed soul in the kingdom of his beloved Son. What a wonderful blessing that is. And so we go to another verse. Work down some of these verses that particularly attracted me. It says here in verse 16, or if we go back to verse 14, we've got redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and it says, in him who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. That's who Jesus is. Image of the invisible God. He came into this scene And he manifested God to man. Manifested them perfectly. Made his heart known. Made his will known. And it says that he's firstborn of all creation. Because by him, that is by Jesus, all things were created. All things in the heavens and the things on the earth, visible and invisible. Thrones, lordships, principalities, all these things Jesus created. If you go to John's Gospel, the opening of John's Gospel, it takes you right back to the beginning. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things received being through him, and without him, not one thing received being which has received being. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. That's Jesus, the Saviour, that John is speaking about. Marvellous. If we can go back to the beginning, that's before creation. Jesus was there, spoken of here as the Word, with God and was God. That's the greatness of who God is holding forth as a Saviour for you and for me. That one that was before creation with God. And that's the one who God was manifested in here as a man. You think of the pathway of Jesus. That was God here in the form of a man. Bringing in all the blessings that God has in his heart for his creature in healings, casting out evil spirits, and so on. But ultimately, the heart of man is so alienated and estranged from God that they said, away with him, we will not have this man to reign over us. Terrible picture of the heart of man as away from God. And it speaks of that here in verse 21. You, that's those that the apostle's writing to, but it includes all of us, each one of us, because we were all sinners. We are all sinners. Some are saved. Some may not be. But tonight there is the opportunity to be saved and to know that you're saved. It says here, yet now has it reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, having made peace by the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in mind by wicked works, yet now has it reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and irreproachable before it. That's what God wants to do with the sinner, that comes to him in repentance and in faith in the completeness of the work carried out on that cross at Calvary. He's reconciled us through the death of the Lord Jesus, and he wants to present us to himself. And you think that takes us back to the verse that spoke earlier about being made fit to share the portion of the saints in light. You think about that. The portion of the saints in light is in heaven. That's their place. And it says, he's made us by this reconciliation and by repentance. We become fit to share that place in heaven that the Father has reserved, the Lord has prepared for those that love him. Wondrous thing. And that's something that happens immediately. You put your faith in him. It's not a long process. I always think back to the thief on that cross at Calvary. He realized he was a sinner. We indeed justly, we receive the due recompense of our deeds. But he recognized that in Jesus there was one here who had done nothing amiss. And he says to him, remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. And what was the answer? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's fit to be in heaven along with the Lord Jesus through simple repentance and faith in the completeness of the work that he's done. And dear friend, that's open to you tonight. Wondrous blessings in the heart of God. His Holy Spirit given, able to guide us in our pathways here. Well, the pathway of a Christian is not an easy one, but we have the love of God and of the Lord and the indwelling Holy Spirit that strengthens us and maintains us in our pathways at the present time. And looking on to that day when, as I've said, the Lord will come for his own and gather them to be with himself for eternity. Wondrous hope of every believer. It's an anticipation. It's not a hope in the sense that we hope it will come good. It will come good. Because God has promised it. And he will not go back on a promise. Dear friends, I really can't say much more. Just struck by the greatness of the Lord. And we get a section in this chapter as well that tells us that in dying on that cross, he went into death, into the realms of death, into the lower parts of the earth, it says in one place. And he broke its power. And he rose out of that, having conquered the enemy, death. And that's the power that Jesus has in resurrection. That's the power that he had in creating everything that has been created. The marvelous power that's in the Son of God. All things created by him. And this power of resurrection life which he communicates to those who come to him in repentance and in faith. That power is the same power which will raise all who have put their trust in him. And they will share the portion of the saints in light along with Christ. He's prepared, he's gone to heaven, he told his disciples, he's gone to prepare you a place. Were it not so, I had told you. And that is true for you and I today, if we put our trust in the Lord Jesus. Dear friends, if you don't already know him, I plead with you, come to him tonight. Put your faith in what he's done. Surrender to him for your eternal blessing. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.